In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on January 7th, 2015. This is the official podcast for Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is fellow writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
Not well.
I know. I just customary. I didn't feel like it, but I just kind of had to at that point.
Two things. One, I have an ear infection and bronchitis.
Stop dying.
Two, we are about 30, 45 minutes after watching Mississippi State lose to the number 21 team in the country by a point.
Because of a freaking last minute three that State hit to bring it that close. That they couldn't hit the threes all night.
And a pretty dumb play by Craig Sword.
Man. Running straight into Gavin Ware is not exactly brilliant by any stretch of the imagination.
He pretty much was attempting to dribble in between Gavin Ware and an A&M player, and that didn't work out too well.
No.
But yeah, Rick Stansberry in his return got a chair and got
a
win.
Can we throw it?
No, I don't want to throw it. It's a nice chair. And anyway, he has it, so we can't throw it.
I'm going to find it and burn it.
So you're going to travel to College Station to burn it? It's weird knowing that Rick Stansberry lives in College Station, Texas.
It's weird knowing that anybody lives in College Station, Texas.
Ethan, I will give you every opportunity in the world to go ahead and rant about Texas A&M now if you would like to, because we are not going to have another opportunity to do it for a while. So if you want to, go ahead.
I'm going to let this stew, actually. So that way, if we beat them in a few weeks...
Which we're not going to.
You're... Don't ever say that again around me right now. No. No, 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 no. Not with the mood I'm in.
So you are...
You don't want to be on the other end of this.
So you are angry, as you've been... You have been denying that you're angry, and you are very much angry.
But I'm going to let this stew.
Okay.
I'm going to let it simmer. So that way, if we beat them in a few weeks, don't.
I'm not going to.
Because that way, I can just let it all out and just truly enjoy that victory. I'm not even going to pretend to be impartial in any sense. I am going to just let it go. Just enjoy it. You know how Egg Bowl Twitter gets?
In the middle of it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be something like that. I'm going to have some fun.
I hope we win.
I hope so, too. Because otherwise that show is not going to be fun to do.
Okay, so... you said we both agree that pretty much the only way Mississippi State can win this game is in a shootout fashion, both teams scoring in the 80s or the 90s. And Texas A&M's leading scorer, Daniel House, I believe his name is. And it's like a weird spelling of Daniel. But anyways,
He was out.
He was suspended for the game for no reason. We don't know what reason. Billy Kennedy, no relation to the other Kennedy, said that he was suspended, no reason. But, you know, when I saw that, I said, oh, well, that's good.
We have a shot.
We're still going to lose by about 10.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I didn't watch the first 7 minutes because I was eating food with my father, whose birthday was 2 days ago, as you listen. And
happy birthday.
Thank you. I'll tell him that. Not now, because he's asleep.
That's good.
But a 68-year-old needs to get his rest. But It was, I didn't have a firm understanding of what was happening. I just saw that Craig Sword hit a couple free throws early, and then they come hit a couple free throws. The team started 0-for-8, and it was like 5-5 through 5 minutes. I was like, ugh, this is ugly. And I got home, and it was 12-9 State. And let me see what the I forgot what the score at the first at the end of the first half was. What was it? Do you have it? I don't know.
What, at half?
Yeah.
28-25.
A&M's lead. And that first half featured a 9-point Mississippi State lead at one point. And, you know, at this point, my thought process was, what is going on? How are we playing defense this well? I'm sure that was the same with a lot of people. And
I saw a tweet asking if Rick Ray was the one that came back, not Stansberry, just because the defense was there, but the offense wasn't.
And, you know, this is an A&M offense that loves to shoot the three. It's a very good shooting team. I believe that we saw that they were first in the SEC in field goal percentage.
Yeah, they weren't that tonight.
And in this game, they shot 30.6% from the field, and that's including a pretty decent second half shooting-wise for Texas A&M. But in that first half, our defense started out really well. Our defense was pretty much ultimately what gave us that 9-point lead. And then there was just a short little 45-second to a minute burst at the end of the half where they just ran on us, hit a couple threes, ultimately took a 3-point lead going into halftime. And then the second half was a shot, 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 shot. At least in the beginning, it was a lot of offense in that second half.
And they kind of went on runs, starting to pull away. State would pull right back in the second half.
Yeah.
Take a small lead, you'd get the lead changed the other way. A&M goes on a small run, takes the lead, and starts to extend it. And that really was the way it went the entire second half, right up until the end. We outscored them in the second half, 35-33.
And, Mississippi State at one point in the second half, it was sort of just a little back and forth. But I'm just trying. Here we go. Mississippi State had a lead for a little bit in this first half, or in the second half, had leads at different times. A&M extended their lead at one point to 49-44.
Yep.
And Mississippi State was able to come back, make it 49-48. And from there, it was sort of just back forth, back forth. They had a lead. We had a lead. They had a lead. And ultimately, it was what? Let's see. 59-57?
Yeah.
57-57, they hit, they had a dunk, and we came down the court down 59-57 with 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
And Craig Sword decides to dribble the ball in between Gavin Ware and some Texas A&M defender.
Who was hugging Gavin Ware.
In an attempt to get to the basket. And that resulted in just at his absolutely losing control of the ball, tried to get it back, ultimately sort of just got into a little bit of a tie ball or whatever they say with A&M until they were just able to rip it out. They were able to rip it out of his hands, and they got it with 6 seconds. And we fouled him. And at that point, we sort of had said, oh, it's over. We didn't have any timeouts at that point, and they had two free throws up too, and we figured that they were going to make both of them, and that's exactly what happened. And Quindary Weatherspoon ultimately just made a useless three at the end of the game to make it 61-60. But it...
And I'm not even, like I told you before the show, before we started recording, I don't even think that the Craig Sword trying to run through Gavin Ware was the dumbest play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That when IJ Reddy sent Alex Caruso into orbit, that was where they started to take the lead and pushed it away. And it just got out of hand there.
Mm-hmm.
Got out of hand toward the end. And that was just a dumb play. You can't make the... I get IJ is smaller. He's at a 8-inch height disadvantage there, probably 20 pounds.
Yeah.
But you can't do that. You just can't do that there. And that's what really, really frustrates me about this game. And Najee Reddy had some beautiful plays today, had some phenomenal, phenomenal passes here and there. Mm-hmm. But that was just, I think that was the dumbest play possibly of his career.
There was a stretch of time starting at 3:32 where Texas A&M had a 52-48 lead. And we sort of just went, we sort of roared back in a minute and a half stretch. Not necessarily roared back. It wasn't a fast, didn't go like that. Just sort of slowly.
Is this where Gavin Ware sort of took over?
Yes. They had a 52-48 lead. Gavin Ware had a dunk to make it 52-50. Alex Caruso turns the ball over. If this stupid play-by-play could stop switching to the first half, that would be appreciated. Alex Caruso ends up turning the ball over. Malik Newman hits what I thought was the biggest shot at that point of the entire game, a three-pointer that gave State a 53-52 lead. Alex Caruso goes down and hits a three. Gavin Ware misses a jumper, gets his own offensive rebound. He gets fouled, not a shooting foul. And ultimately, Alex Caruso fouls Malik Newman in the act of shooting. Mississippi State's down 55-53, and Malik Newman just happens to miss both of his free throws. I wanted to throw something against a wall when that happened. We ended up going down and tying the game up at 57 later in that half, but at that point, those were two key missed free throws for Mississippi State, and I guess just... It just, I don't necessarily know how to describe it. I just wanted to throw that sequence out.
Continue that sequence. You know, Quindary Weatherspoon gets the rebound. You know, there's a jump ball. State wins the jump ball because of the possession arrow.
Yeah.
And then Newman misses another jumper.
Mm-hmm.
Gavin Ware gets the rebound, is fouled, gets two free throws.
Yep.
So it's just, you know, we said it on the show, the preview show for this, where guys like Malik Newman would have to have the game of their life.
Yep.
Craig Sword would have to have the game of his life.
Mm-hmm.
IJ Reddy would have to have the game of his life.
Yep.
To really give State the best shot at winning this. And they all crapped the bed, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
And State was still in. So, you know, but we're still in the game. We still had a shot at winning, largely because of Gavin Ware.
Yeah.
15 points, 13 rebounds.
And a big reason why Mississippi State couldn't do anything offensively is because in the first half, Texas A&M absolutely locked him down. And he was unable to, and no one was able to get the ball to him. And in the second half, he really comes up strong. I believe, did he get all of, he didn't get all of his 15 points.
He had like 2 points in the first half.
He got a very, very, very large majority of his points in the second half.
So it's just one of those things where you wish you could get him help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Raquez Johnson and Cullen Borkert weren't world beaters by any imagination, any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. But either one of those guys to get some depth up front to try to help him.
Uh-huh.
Where was Johnny Sabardo in this game?
Really nowhere.
Eric Holman is
Eric
still
Holman
injured.
Got a little bit of playing time in the first half, and that's all I heard from him. He didn't get any points. He attempted one shot and one three, which was one field goal and then one three, which I don't understand why a 6'10 freshman is shooting a three-pointer, but okay.
Well, he was said to have some range from high school,
and I think,
but it's
right
now he.
I think we
don't need that from him.
I think we've mentioned this already, but I'm just going to stress it again.
Go for it.
We were 6 for 23 from three from behind the arc, and that's not good whatsoever.
If you're not hitting over 30% from three in college, you're bad. Mm-hmm. You're really bad.
Yeah.
If you're not even hitting, you know, 20, you're hitting 26.1% here is what that says. Mm-hmm. That's abysmal.
The thing is,
that's never take another shot from behind three again.
Although Mississippi State scored only 60 points, we shot 43% from the field. They shot 31% from the field. Probably the biggest reason why we weren't able to ultimately win this game is because we were taking so many ill-advised three-pointers.
That and those, it felt like they were getting 20 chances at the ball.
Oh yeah, offensive rebounds. They had 20.
Those offensive
they
rebounds.
They doubled us in offensive rebounds. They had 20 offensive rebounds and 16 second chance points. They beat us by 7 in second chance points and by 10 in offensive rebounds.
The second chance points and the offensive rebounds. And that's the stat that really has been killing State all year.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, overall rebounds, 24.
Yeah.
Or, well, no, 34 overall rebounds. That's not bad for the year.
Mm-hmm.
24 defensive rebounds. When, you know, Gavin Ware's going and getting 13 total, that's a great game.
Indeed.
But it's just, you know, said it before. We'll say it again because it's going to happen again. Teams that have more depth up front will beat us more times than not. And it's happened every time so far.
Now, we've talked about this game just as a whole. Ethan, you're probably just, you're definitely more angry about this than I am. Primarily,
yes.
Primarily because, one, we were playing Texas A&M. You know, I'm frustrated. It's very much disappointing when you have the opportunity to defeat the number 21 team in the country. And this is a team that is in Ben Howland's first year of almost a complete rebuild.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand those frustrations. I was expecting us to get beat by about 15 to 20.
I mean, I said the same in the preview.
You know, I can, you know me. I am the biggest pessimist in the entire world.
Yeah.
And if I were truly in my pessimistic ways right now, I wouldn't be doing the show right now. Like, I didn't do the Egg Bowl show.
If you were feeling the way I feel, you probably wouldn't be doing the show.
And, I mean, I didn't do the Egg Bowl show. So,
yeah.
Of course, I gave my 2 cents on that. But, and illness played a role in that as well. But, I mean, I'm sick right now, too. But anyways, I can see this as a leap forward in overall progress. Looking at our schedule down the road, not looking too hot. We know we can easily start 0-4 in conference play right now because after A&M, we have Arkansas, Kentucky, and I believe Tennessee after that. Tennessee absolutely obliterated Florida tonight, yesterday as you listen, and Arkansas beat a decent Vanderbilt team in overtime. And we have to go travel to Arkansas. I mean, and although Kentucky is not as great as they were last year, they're still Kentucky. And we're not going to beat Kentucky by any means.
And then after Tennessee, we have Florida, Ole Miss, South Carolina.
Yeah. We could start 0-7 in conference play.
1-6 is probably the most likely with the win at Florida. And that's,
I think we can beat Ole Miss.
Yeah.
You don't think you're that not confident in the game against Ole Miss?
I'm just, right now, it's one of those things where I see the positives.
Are you just being weighted down by just the fact that we lost this game?
It's the way we lost this game.
Figured
it's
as
the
much.
Way we lose every game. It's Gavin Ware goes and plays his heart out and just doesn't have anyone around him.
Yeah.
It's, I just, if Craig Sword could have just played a little bit better, if freaking Travis Daniels had taken a couple of Craig Sword's shots,
mm-hmm.
I'd feel better about this, or IJ Reddy shots, or Malik Newman shots, because Travis Daniels only took one shot.
Yeah.
All.
Yep. Travis Daniels really hasn't, with the exception of one game, he hasn't really produced much for this team at all.
And I don't get that. I don't get why they're not giving him the ball at all. Because when nobody else is going right, when we're missing threes, why not give it to the other guy that's kind of a big man?
Uh-huh.
Why not try to, you know, he's 6'7", 225.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's a shooting guard size.
Mm-hmm.
And we're playing him at small forward.
Indeed.
Small forward, power forward, depending on how you want to define the way this team lines up. But either way, he's not a small forward by any stretch of the imagination, by any definition. We're having to play him there. But if nobody else is making these shots, you got to try to find something.
Mm-hmm.
And when he takes one shot all game, when Eric Holman took more shots than him, I have a problem with that. I have a big problem with that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
So Mississippi State falls to 7-6, 0-1 in conference play on the season. And as
buckle up for this SEC slate that's coming up.
And as we've mentioned, our SEC slate coming up is at Arkansas, at Kentucky. If you want to, we can just go down the line and just with this team right now, we can just predict, if you want to, the remainder of the conference slate, if you actually want to.
Let's go ahead. We don't really have much else to talk about besides Boniquez Brown.
Lost to Arkansas?
Yes.
0-2.
Don't even pretend that we're going to win at Kentucky.
0-3.
No.
I could see us winning against Tennessee. I'm not...
For optimism's sake, let's just go ahead and say yes.
Yeah, so that is what? 0-1-3?
If it was on the road, I'd say we're not going
to
win that one.
Lost to Florida?
Yeah.
1-4.
Well, yeah.
1-4.
Let's Tennessee and Florida are both coin flip games,
mm-hmm,
to me. Could go either way.
Yeah.
With it being on the road, let's say a loss.
Ole Miss is a team where we need a defensive performance. Like...
We're going to need an offensive performance,
yeah,
too.
Excuse me. I mean, we... I can't speak. Stuff's getting in my throat. But anyways, we just need to absolutely shut... We're not going to be able to shut down Stephon Moody. At least slow him down. That's the
one thing that does... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was been clearing my throat for the last 30 okay. seconds.
One thing that gives me hope about that game is just Mississippi State's depth at guard. And, you know, Ole Miss's best player is Moody.
Yeah.
So there are plenty of guys that'll be on the court that can defend him. If you can take him away, there's a better shot of State winning this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my biggest reason for hope. You have enough guys on the court at one time. We're playing four guards in our starting lineup. We have enough guys on the court that'll be able to defend him at any given time.
Yeah. So I'm just going to go ahead and say we beat Ole Miss, but I'm not super confident.
Another coin flip.
Let's just say we're 2-4
we'll
at this point.
Yeah.
Lost to South Carolina.
Correct.
2-5. I think we can beat Missouri. I think we'll beat Missouri.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Missouri's not any better than us.
3-5. Then Alabama, who is an interesting team.
They're weird.
They are weird.
I think they have a couple of good wins this year.
And a couple of bad losses.
Yeah.
I'll say we'll lose.
Why not? Yeah.
So what's that now? 3-6?
No, and the stretch just gets rough.
I mean, not necessarily. The three straight home games are games that I think are definitely winnable, but before that is having to travel to a place against a team that just beat Kentucky by 18 points on their home floor, and that's LSU. We'll lose that game. Because there is no way on God's green earth we're going to stop Ben Simmons.
No.
So that's...
Oh, man. I feel sorry for Gavin Ware in that game.
So that's 3-6.
Yep.
I think we'll beat Arkansas at home.
You are optimistic, sir.
I think we'll beat Georgia at home.
Also optimistic.
Really? Georgia.
Yeah. Pretty good team last year.
Okay.
They're 8-4 this year.
Let me see. I
don't think they have any big wins, but they don't have any bad losses from what I remember. Oh, they lost Chattanooga. That's a bad loss.
That is a bad loss.
They lost to Kansas State. They lost to... I don't know who this is. And they lost to Florida. But they've beaten Mizzou,
they've
beaten
lost
Clemson.
To Seton Hall.
That's who it was.
Chattanooga, Kansas State, and Florida. And they've beaten Missouri, but Missouri's an absolute trash heap.
Beat Clemson, beat
I mean,
Georgia
I'll say this.
Tech.
I have a
Georgia Tech's probably their best game.
I have a lot more confidence in our beating Georgia than Arkansas.
I would agree with that.
I'll say we win both of them.
Okay.
And Vanderbilt is...
What's our record at this point before we lose count?
5-6.
That's ugly. This is not what we predicted preseason.
Vanderbilt.
I think we can win.
I agree. And one, we just tend to beat Vanderbilt, even when, like, a couple of times in the SEC tournament. Remember that?
Yeah, and at this point in the season, if Malik Newman's not playing like the future NBA player we all know he is,
he's
probably coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But I would expect at this point in the season, Malik Newman would be the best player on the team, no longer Gavin Ware. Quindary Weatherspoon should be right up there
and
with
speaking
him.
Speaking of Quindary Weatherspoon, he had a pretty good game against Texas A&M tonight.
He did. And Eric Holman should be healthy. So to close the season, I'm feeling a lot better about the team than where we are now.
So that leaves us at 6-6, and then we just end on an absolute, just it's... sadness to at Alabama loss.
Yeah,
I'm not going to predict the Texas A&M game for
we're
the sake of
predict
for
that
this,
game. We're going to skip it.
This,
we're just that game doesn't.
I'm
exist.
I'm not going to predict it for the sake of my safety. Loss to South Carolina.
Yeah,
lost to Ole Miss.
Probably.
I'll say we beat Auburn.
We'll probably crush Auburn.
So that is what 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, actually, sorry, 3. Not including Texas A&M, because I don't want to... I don't,
that game doesn't exist. It's not on our schedule. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't want to pass away.
It's not a real game.
So that That's is 6-9-1. Nice. 6-9-1, because I have to throw in a tie.
Which, in Ben Howland's first year, that's probably not bad.
What has Rick...
What's the overall... standing there. What's the overall record?
Right now, let's see. 6. That's 6. That's 13. Plus 9 or plus 8. That's 13, 14 and 1.
Which record-wise, that's right in there with the middle of Rick Ray's years.
Which is really weird because Rick Ray has gone 13-19 once. But that's like 13.
Are we doing math right here?
What?
Did we do math right?
I'm really confused. Right now we're 7-6. I'm just gonna
Yeah, okay.
I'm gonna count
I'm just
gonna,
hey,
I'm gonna
start over.
I'm gonna,
here. Start
I'm gonna
over.
Count the losses.
Count the losses, I'll count the wins.
Losses. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'll let you just count all of it.
No, I'm counting the losses first, at least. I'm sorry for the listeners who have to currently listen to us doing math, especially me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We said we're losing to Alabama and Starkville. That's 6.
Yeah.
7, 8, 9, 10. So yeah, we did the math right because A&M is safe is a safety tie. So yeah, that's 9.
Okay, those extra wins came in the SEC tournament.
His last year, he went 13-19, and we lost to Auburn in the first round of the SEC tournament.
No, then, I guess we had more games.
I guess. Let me count here. This year we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. 30 regular season games.
Two fewer games.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm okay with
we
that.
Currently have us at 13, 15, and 1, 6, 9, and 1 in the SEC. And if you compare that to Rick Ray's pass, that's about where Rick...
Wait, you said there's 30 games. You said overall record is 13-15-1.
You know what?
There is a game missing.
We're done with math. So that
at
is
at best we're 14-15 and
that
one.
Is about
at best we're 14-15
that
and
is
one
about,
going to the SEC tournament.
That is about where Rick Ray overall record about where Rick Ray was in his second year, SEC record about where Rick Ray was in his last year.
And that's just a case of, you know, if we don't significantly improve down the stretch by the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
I think that should be about right. Now, I will say I think that the team should improve, and they theoretically should beat some teams that we predicted they'd lose.
Mm-hmm.
But that just depends on Malik Newman. That depends on Quindary Weatherspoon. That depends on Craig Sword.
Yeah.
It depends on these guys that should be playing better. And I guess Quindary Weatherspoon's playing about where he should be, if not a little bit better than what we expected.
Uh-huh.
Malik Newman, so far this season, has not played well.
Yeah.
Not a consistent shooter. I don't think he's a good point guard, honestly. I think he's a better off shooting guard, and just the way this team is built, it's screwy,
mm-hmm.
more or less. Just the way he played high school ball, he was always a shooting guard, and it just, whatever. I mean, I think what we're getting out of guys like Gavin Ware and IJ Reddy, probably more than we expected.
Yeah.
So, I guess what I'm trying to say here is we're going to need more production from guys that have not been playing up to par.
Right.
Sword has not been playing anywhere near the level that he should be playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame.
Yeah.
And Fred Thomas, for as fun as the has his flat top is, as his fun of a player.
Fred Thomas has probably been the least productive player this year. He and Travis Daniels are probably the least productive players this year. And Travis Daniels actually has had a good game, so Fred Thomas is the least productive player this year. That's actually had solid playing time, because Eric Holman is not productive, but he hasn't had any solid playing time.
And Johnny Zapato is a guy that just keeps getting forgotten.
Yeah. So yeah,
I think for good reason.
Coming into the year, I didn't think that he was going to play a significant role in this team, primarily because he was out for the entire year last year with injury, so I didn't really know much about him.
We didn't get, I mean, Flu Nadoyi is gone.
Yep.
So the season just overall is not...
It's a dumpster fire. And
but it's still an improvement over last year because we still have hope,
mm-hmm.
which is so weird to say right now that this is better than what it was last year. But
you know what? The thing is, I'm going to be an optimist for a second here, and that's incredible, right?
I mean, you've actually seen more good basketball at Mississippi State than I have. So
yeah, thank you, Rick.
The typical positions
you,
here,
Rick.
The roles of expectations and disposition are kind of flipped.
I mean,
you're more of the optimist when it comes to basketball.
And you were introduced to the basketball of Mississippi State with Rick Ray, and I was introduced to the football of Mississippi State with Sylvester Croom, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
But with what I was about to say, I'm going to give a bit of optimism here. I think it's a broken record now for the number of times I've mentioned my Ben Howland piece, but this year I will continue to go back to it because there's really nothing else I can do.
I mean, I think that's something that'll hold true, too.
Uh-huh. That it's happened twice. He's struggling his first year with a really good player and an experienced team at not necessarily Northern Arizona. He didn't have a star, but at Pittsburgh and UCLA. Pittsburgh, they had Brandon Knight, and UCLA, they had Aaron Afalo, or however the heck you pronounce it.
No, they had Trevor Ariza.
Oh, was it Trevor? That was his sophomore year, my bad. They had Trevor Ariza for 1 year. So, and they had an experienced team. UCLA in that first year went 11-17. Pitt in that first year went 13-15. And 13-15 is a similar finish to what we're expecting this year.
Yeah.
And also, Brandon Knight came back for his sophomore year when that first year at Pittsburgh. So if Malik Newman does end up coming back to his sophomore year, which I still do not think will happen, because I think NBA teams will figure that they can work with this guy because the talent is still there.
He's got so much talent.
The talent is still there.
Yeah.
But I'm sure NBA, and I know that NBA teams are probably going to take that into matter, and I don't think Malik Newman wants to stay in college for another year. That's just my thought process.
Especially the way this season's going.
Yeah. But by year three, in both cases, Ben Howland was in at least the NCAA Sweet 16. I'm not saying that we're going to be in the Sweet 16 by year three, but we should be. But we should be around that area by year three. So I'm just throwing optimism out there.
And there's a lot of young talent coming in.
That's exactly right.
The guys that, you know, Gavin Ware in his post game press conference ended up saying, "You will see better from us." And the dude has played his heart out all season, and he seems to be the one guy that really wants to win from this team.
Yeah.
You know, next year's team, the starters will likely be IJ Reddy, Quindary Weatherspoon, Eric Coleman, and a bunch of guys we don't know.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of young talent, a lot of new faces, and IJ Reddy is the only name in that group that had to live through the Rick Ray era.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of turnover, and not so many turnovers, hopefully.
I see what you did there. Ha-ha. Yeah. Ba-doom.
But it's just...
You suck at puns.
The culture
Delete
should
your
be
account.
Changed. Gosh. The culture should be changed by then.
Yeah.
At least in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that, you know, if they don't win these sort of games... I think it'll start to add up.
Indeed.
But I think next year's group, you don't have that sort of burden weighing on them all the time of, oh, is this going to spiral? Oh, mm-hmm. is this going to get out of control?
Yeah.
That's just, there should be a difference, enough of a difference by then, I hope.
Yeah. So I guess that'll do it for our basketball talk, and that was 40 minutes worth of basketball talk.
It wasn't fun basketball talk.
So I don't know if you necessarily want to dive into the players leaving for the NFL. We can dive into it, but not for long.
I mean, we can talk about...
Durania, Chris Jones, and Boniquez Brown are all gone.
And I think they all have, especially Boniquez Brown, they all, you know, could have done with another year in college.
Yeah. You know, going into the year, I was expecting both Chris Jones and Durania Wilson to be gone. Boniquez Brown, not so much.
I mean, even coming out of the season, wasn't expecting him to go pro.
No. So.
And it's one of those things where he's not even, I mean, physically, he's not overwhelmingly, this is a guy that can succeed at the next level, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'1", 240.
Yeah.
Which is short for most linebackers.
Yeah, unless he gets some really big weight on him and he has some terrific development, I don't see Boniquez Brown being a very successful NFL player if he even gets drafted. The one thing I will say is the only way I could... There are only two reasons why he would leave. One, he absolutely despises Mississippi State. Or two, he had a decent draft grade.
And that's got to be it. He just had to have had the right draft grade that said, okay, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, but I just don't think, because I didn't think Richie Brown is that great of a pro prospect,
mm-hmm.
but he had a significantly better year.
Yeah.
He was the linebacker we were talking about. Exactly. He was the guy that got all of our attention. And granted, we're not pro scouts, but if he's the guy that seems to be making these tackles... He was a sure tackler the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's got a similar build, 6'2", 245.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is the only reason why either one of them would truly succeed at the next level is just a sheer knowledge of the game.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, we've seen that out of Richie. I don't know much about Boniquez Brown, and I've been watching the team pretty closely
mm-hmm.
As closely as a fan can get and as closely as a blogger could get.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not experts again, but mm-hmm. it's just one of those things where we've been paying attention and we still don't know that much about his playing ability.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll just wait and see on that. But we currently have three players gone to the NFL. One could be soon. I mean...
Fred Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
surprised he hasn't announced
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, me neither. I'm surprised as well. But I guess that will wrap it up for this episode of the podcast tools. We didn't ask for any questions, and that's probably for the better because the show is going kind of long. But anyways, Ethan, do you have any final thoughts?
I know I've said it multiple
times. If you don't want us to have any final thoughts, that's fine.
I mean, I do. I'm just trying to think of how to word this.
Okay.
You know, I've said that we're in an athletic renaissance, more or less.
Yeah. Kind of.
I think what we've seen on the field has been disappointing with the four losses the football team had. They were all bad losses in some aspect. The LSU loss, you could argue that it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got three bad losses the football year. The basketball team has not started out well.
Yeah.
But we still have this chance, there's a lot of potential around the athletic department.
Yeah.
And I think we all thought we were 2 or 3 years advanced in basketball. I thought, you know, we all thought football wouldn't experience much of a drop-off, except for maybe if the offensive line crapped out.
I did. I mean,
shut up.
Ethan, you're the one who predicted us to go 10-2 this year.
And we could have. A field goal at LSU.
And
nothing. Better play calling at A&M.
We lost by 13 points, Ethan. It doesn't matter
about
play calling.
We shouldn't have lost. Okay, so 9-3.
There we go.
Yeah. 10-3 with the bowl win. Which, I don't know who we would have played.
We could have played a better team.
We could have
played
Texas
Tech. And in that matter, there would...
We probably would have played Texas Tech if we flipped the LSU and MSU seedings. Just for without diving into it too much, because
that's
what I'm saying. Yes, it's disappointing right now to look at the athletic department and say, oh, what could be? But I think, you know, we'll come up with, in the coming years, it'll be more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And here's to hoping that baseball season somehow is just miraculous.
And I've mentioned this when I was doing the show alone, that I think this is just a regional team this year. I don't understand the hype I think we were 11th in the collegiate baseball. I think that's just ridiculous. I think we're a regional team at best.
Have you seen the Instagram posts where they keep clamoring about all the talent around this team?
We were really talented last year, buddy. We've had top 5 recruiting classes, the last 2-3 years?
Granted, last
Ethan,
year...
don't get me started on baseball. We'll discuss this another day. This
I
is
won't,
a completely
but
new
but what
tangent.
I was just going to say, granted, the seams changed with baseball this past year.
Great.
I'm just saying
Whoa.
Last year. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
There is a bit of a change there, and you have to
I don't even know what we're talking about now. You're
seams
giving...
on the baseball?
Yeah, well, I know, but aren't you... We're going...
My final thoughts was just... The listeners are going to hate us for this because we get off topic.
Yeah.
We're not a professional podcast.
No, not at all. We don't have we don't have an outro.
Nope. But where was I? I ended my final thoughts with here's to hoping that baseball is miraculous.
Okay.
Because that would make us feel better about where the athletic department renaissance is.
Okay, so that'll do it for this episode of Whom the Podcast
Tools. That was a garbage ending. That was a garbage final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, this was a garbage show.
Delete your account. Delete your Twitter. Delete. I hate babbling.
You hate Texas A&M?
I'm so mad right now.
Okay, so on Tuesday, we'll talk about Mississippi State's game against Arkansas.
We might have a guest. I don't know. She hasn't emailed me back.
We'll talk about Miss. Yeah, that's true. You're in charge of that. And also we'll preview Mississippi State's game against Kentucky.
No, we won't.
No, we won't. We'll probably talk about it for 30 seconds. But the thing we're mainly going to do is talk about Mississippi State's game against Arkansas, which we could have previewed today, but we have literally no time.
Yeah, we could have a guest. We
That's
might
true.
Have.
We might have a guest.
Sure. Maybe.
You're
if
in charge
she ever
of that.
Gets back
you're,
at, well, yeah.
You're in charge of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll do that, and we'll talk about basketball and stuff. But until then, thank you all. This is a crappy ending and a crappy
this
show
is
in
a
general.
Crappy show.
But until then, thank you all for listening, and bye-bye, everybody.